Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, fanatics? This is the On the Trail podcast. I am Adam Gray, joined as always by Jared Stansberry. Before we get started here on this podcast, I want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by our good friends, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. My question for everyone listening is, why haven't you called The Exercise Coach, told them that you heard about them from Cyclone Fanatic, and tried their four free workouts to see how amazing this workout truly is? Do you not have enough time to work out? Well, you can get a fantastic workout in just 20 minutes. Jared can even attest to that. I think the first time he did it, he called me up afterwards and was truly amazed. I know a lot of people, too, also have previous injuries that they think prevents them from working out. I tore my Achilles about 4 years ago, and it kind of kept me away from doing a lot of lower body stuff because I just never felt the strength was back there. Well, they have a workout there that takes all the pain away from the joints, keeps all the pressure away from the joints. Anybody can do that, no matter how old you are, how many injuries you've had. Give them a call, 515-330-1299. And with that said, let's get going here, Jared.
Welcome to On the Trail. What's up, Adam Gray? How's it going, dude?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still in a little bit of a haze from Saturday. But the good news here about the On the Trail podcast is we get a look at the future.
We have a graphic now, too. Some good news.
Yeah, we have a sweet graphic on the website. But more than anything, as an Iowa State fan, all you can do is look at you have hope, you know, that the future, something can change. And we get to talk about recruiting for both football and basketball, and I think that's always something really exciting for fans because they can look in the future and say, hey, these guys coming in could lead us to things that we haven't been to before. And I think right now for football, that's a very promising thing.
That's definitely fair to say. But I think we should probably lead off with Iowa State got a basketball commit last night.
Though I'm excited.
Monday night, sorry.
I'm excited about this guy.
Yeah, Darius McNeil, 3-star guard from Houston, committed to Iowa State. After a weekend visit to Ames, I wonder if he went to the football game. I never got a chance to talk to him. He's elusive.
He is elusive.
Yeah, but
you just can't lock him down.
No,
you try to lock him down. He still goes around you. And
yeah.
Hopefully, takes that to the basketball court too.
Hopefully, he missed the football game though.
No, I mean, well, it obviously didn't hurt him. I mean, it was a great environment. I mean, it was a perfect day for football, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get nice weather, the sun, the fans, as always, at Iowa State are great. Any recruit that was there, I mean, you gotta take the football game. If you're a football player, you got to say, man, I can come in here. I can help this team out.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
They have everything else to offer. Great stadium. I mean, the fans were great. And there was a lot of excitement there. So I think the coaching staff can definitely spin this. But as far as Darius McNeil committing to Iowa State, you know me. I like the kid. I think he's he might be a smidge raw still, but you can't teach athleticism that he seems to have. He's got a level of bounce that I don't think we've seen from what was the last shooting guard at Iowa State that had that kind of bounce?
I don't know. Do you consider Bryce John Jones to be a shooting guard?
No, that's fair because he had some
bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would have called him more like a wing, like a three.
I think the thing that impresses me the most about Darius McNeil is his pure speed.
Yeah.
When he gets the ball in his hands.
There's that clip at the end of the video that we put up on the on Cyclone Fanatic.
Yeah.
I think he gets a steal and he goes coast to coast without slowing down at all.
He has really, really long strides for being he's like 6'2"?
6'2", yeah.
Yeah. He's got really long strides and he's like – his turnover rate with those long strides is amazing on the basketball court.
It is. You're 100% right. It'll be interesting to see too because obviously with any recruit coming in, how much work are they going to put in to become elite players, right? I mean, George Nain came into Iowa State already a really good basketball player, but he put in the work to become an All-American. I think if this kid puts in the work and refines his game, I think we could be looking back and saying right now he's the best commit out of the three that we've gotten so far. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think that his rankings are a little bit deceiving or lack thereof, I guess, like his accolades. I think he had a really big summer and maybe that just hasn't been accounted for yet, maybe like on 247. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 150 player by the time everything's said and done.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't surprise me either. You know, the only thing that's a little bit concerning, and it's not, I'm not overly concerned about it because they've been recruiting so well, Texas didn't offer him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's obviously being down there, but I mean, they're pulling in four or five star guys down there left and right. So
yeah.
That was a little bit, you know, you always want to go get the kids from state that the in-state schools want to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think, you know, I'm not sure that Texas ever actually even went and visited him, you know, like, I'm not sure if that actually, like, cause they said that Shaka was going to go to his high school.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that ever happened.
He never made it there.
Or if it might have not, like, it might be later on that that was going to happen, like a couple weeks or something.
Sure. Well, I mean, and Chris,
and I think that's when they wanted to offer him because I don't think Shaka ever got a chance to watch him during the summer. He was always busy with USA Basketball.
Okay. Well, good for us then.
Yeah, definitely.
And kudos to Prohm and the staff. I think they're now 3 for 3 on the kids they've gotten on campus to commit. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And once again, it goes back to, I think Iowa State, once you get people in here, it does sell itself. I mean, it really does. It's a great environment. Your parents usually are pretty cool sending their kids to Ames, Iowa, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about them getting into too much trouble. If they do, it's because they're going out looking for trouble. I think it's a big commit. And now, more than anything, this Iowa State staff can focus in on these last two guys who you can talk about now.
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked a lot about Lindell Wigginton, the point guard from Oak Hill Academy, four-star guy. I think he's the number 12 point guard in the country by 247 composite. He'll be here on a visit 2 weeks from Saturday. So September, like that weekend of September 24th when they play San Jose State. And then last night, Travis Hines was first to report that Isaiah Stokes, a four-star power forward, would be also coming on a visit that same weekend. He's the brother of former Tennessee volunteer Jarnell, former member of the Iowa Energy.
And he is the definition of a power forward, is he not?
Yeah, he's 6'8", 275.
275.
He's been like 6'7", since he was in seventh grade.
I mean, if this is a kid that comes to Iowa State, you got to think Matt Campbell's in Prohm's office being like, hey, man, I'll only use him 15 plays a game. I just need to use him a little bit.
He has offers from Alabama, Florida State.
In football.
Tennessee. Yeah, in football. But he wants to. He's a hooper.
He's a hooper. Okay.
He ripped the rim down at an AAU tournament.
He went Shaquille O'Neal on the backboard.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite like Shaquille O'Neal because it was like on a transition, and he literally just pulled the rim off.
I like it.
Yeah, I think somebody told me it was against the Iowa Barnstormers. I don't know if that's true though.
So he's got some athleticism to him. We're not talking an Aaron Agnew, a 330-pound guy that you hope.
No, this is a 275-pound guy that can run up and down the floor
and is a top 100 recruit as well.
Yeah, I think he's number 60 according to ESPN.
Man, I'll tell you what. If they can get both, and he's visiting September 24th as well.
Yeah, both of them are September 24th.
So if he can, if Prohm can pull this off and get these two, this is going to be Iowa State's version of the Fab Five. I mean, we don't have a Chris Webber or anything, but it'd be a hell of a recruiting class because we were sitting here about a month ago wondering, man, how are things progressing on the recruiting trail? Well, they're progressing pretty nice.
Yeah, I think that they had a plan, and the plan just hadn't come into form yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to come. Really, I will say this: it's a nice right now. They have a nice base of these three commits they currently have. I think they got to get one of those other two. I think those are key. They got to get one of the two to really solidify the class. And I take the point guard first and foremost.
Either way, you're putting yourself into a position to be in a much better spot in the spring when it's like JUCOs and transfers and that kind of stuff than you would have been, you know, 2 months ago.
Absolutely, because you can focus in exactly what you need, and you can go all in on those guys. You know, all your energy is focused on those guys.
It isn't like what, you know, if they would have only gotten Terrence Lewis or only gotten one of these guys, then you get into that spring season, and you're like, that's when you start to reach on someone, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like you get into a position where it's almost desperation. Like you've got a lot of scholarships to fill. Now, if you have three scholarships that are still open, like, you look at that, it's like, okay, we can get at least one transfer. We can get at least one JUCO guy. Those two other two, then you can have a lot of different ways to go with it.
Absolutely. Now, the Stokes kid, is he where was I going with that question? I absolutely just drew a blank there, Jared.
That was pretty stupid of you.
It was really, really dumb of me. I'm getting old here. I'm losing my mind a little bit. But of those two guys, I guess, which one do you want more?
Well, I'd probably say Wigginton just because they need like a pure point guard. But yeah. for fun, I'd have to say Isaiah Stokes,
just,
dude.
Just to see that big boy run up and down the court?
Just have him be like the baby Shaq of he's like Big Baby Davis. That's who he reminds me of.
Well, the other and yesterday too, you texted me and I thought this was a fair comparison. Remind you, Sean May.
Yeah. And it's not even as much like his game. Is it he just looks like Sean May.
He does. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Now I remember where I was going with this question. Who is Iowa State competing against for Stokes?
Well, he's got offers from basketball offers.
I don't care.
He doesn't have a basketball page on 247, I don't think.
Really?
I can only find off one where it says he's an offensive tackle.
Okay.
But on ESPN, he's listed with offers from North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia Commonwealth.
Wow. North Carolina?
Yeah.
So Roy Williams might see him as that Sean May mold too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tennessee, like I said, they've got the connection with his brother. He's from Memphis originally, goes to IMG.
Okay. But Tennessee, obviously, when his brother went there, was a whole completely different coaching staff.
Oh, yeah. It was Bruce Pearl and co.
And then who's the guy that's now out of California now?
Kwanzo.
Kwanzo coaching for a little bit too, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Stokes beat Iowa in the NIT, his older brother. The first round of the NCAA tournament.
I don't remember.
When Iowa State fans argue Iowa was not in the NCAA tournament, Iowa fans say, yes, we were.
I just remember the last time that I saw Jarnell Stokes was when I went to the Iowa Energy game last year.
Was he balling?
I don't remember. It was an Iowa Energy game.
Then he was not balling. Because you would remember
if Jarnell was balling. I don't think he's in the league anymore, so that tells you everything you need to know.
Nuggets close to signing Jarnell Stokes to training camp invite. This was 2 days
ago. Okay, a training camp invite.
Just throwing that out there. He was a big recruit for them, I remember, when they got him.
Yeah, he was. He definitely was. So is that all for basketball? You got anything else?
No, I mean, kudos to the staff once again for kind of getting this class rounded into shape. And it's the San Jose State game is going to be a big game for multiple reasons, not only for basketball recruiting, but it may or may not be Iowa State's chance to get their first win.
Yeah, I guess
I'm not trying
true.
To be negative, but I'm sorry. I thought this
was the Hope podcast.
It is the Hope podcast. I'll keep the negativity out. I'll save that for the Fallcast here in a couple days.
All right, so we've been trying to figure out what we were going to do for with our the in-season podcasts.
Yeah.
Now we've got it figured out.
Oh, we got some stuff.
We're going to talk about the commits, run through their stats from the week. How'd you do with your with compiling here? Are you much of a researcher?
Yeah, this is not an easy job. I'm telling you right now. This takes a little bit of work. I mean,
you got to know the right places to look.
Yeah, and I think I've saved a couple spots, so going forward it'll be a little easier for me, but I took the offensive guys. You took the defensive guys.
Yeah.
Iowa State's got, four commits out of offensive linemen? There's no stats for offensive line. So what more than anything, I'll just be giving you kind of updates of how their team's
doing. I was going to say, you can bring us how their team did.
Yeah, maybe rushing
stats.
Maybe
if they ran for 500 yards, that's something that people could note. You know? That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Did anybody run for 500 yards?
No, not that I saw.
Okay. No. The other thing that I noticed is that almost all of these teams are successful. I didn't see any recruits that have a really bad team. Almost all of them are ranked.
Well, this is good because we need to be bringing in winners into this program. Because it's a culture change for sure. And I'm not saying that the current guys are loser. I'm not saying. But right now the Iowa State culture is they don't know how to win games. They're still trying to learn. We saw it first. The U and I game. So you recruit guys that have won at a high level. They're used to winning. You bring them in here and then hope that you can start winning before they realize quickly that and it's tough to do.
So who was the biggest performer from the offensive guys? Biggest performer of the week. Adam Gray's offensive player of the week.
Oh, gosh. Unfortunately, they're not anybody.
You don't give it to anyone?
Well, okay. If I have to give it to somebody here, I'll give it to Josh Johnson, Central Arkansas Christian team. They're 1-0 now. He had 3 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. He actually ended up being third on the team in yards, but they didn't throw the ball a whole lot. He tied for catches, and two of his teammates had really long touchdown catches. So I'd probably go with him.
What about Devin Moore? How'd he do last week?
So Devin Moore's team, they won. They're 2-0 now in the year. The very first game of the year, he threw 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions the very first week. And then last week, he had a tough game against Dubuque Hempstead. They won 14-13, so they're still undefeated 2-0. But not quite as many yards for him. He's 12 for 18, 151 yards, 1 touchdown, still no interceptions on the season. which is always good to see. One thing I have noticed in here, I think he's got maybe 7-8 carries on the year where he's getting about a yard and a half per carry. So I don't think this is a kid that's going to be much of a dual threat when it comes to Iowa State. I think he's going to be primarily a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. And you watched him in 7-on-7. Would you kind of say that seemed fair? He seemed more of a stand in the pocket and sling it kind of guy?
Yeah, I'd probably say so. He's a big dude, you know? Like,
he's big.
He's like a – and if he does run, he's more of a Joel Lanning, like, physical type runner.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a speed guy.
But, I mean, Lanning ran in high school.
Yeah.
Ankeny. You know, you could tell, okay, this is a guy that can be a little bit of a dual threat. And I wish they would probably actually run him a little bit less, but you could see why they would do that.
Yeah.
I don't think Devin Moore – I mean, just – if a guy runs – and this is only two games, mind you – but he's got maybe 12 yards carrying on 7 carries, he's not going to be a Big 12 running quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. In my opinion, I'd rather have a tall, big quarterback with a big arm than a running quarterback. I've said that for years now. Give me a guy that can see over the line and can make the throws that you need to make.
And he's a lefty.
Yeah.
So that's always good enough for you.
So you know he is an elite athlete in other, you know, as far as arm strength goes. What do you got? Who's your defensive player of the week?
It's probably got to be Cam White. 7 tackles, had a big interception to seal a win over the number one team in the state, Brandon, 28-21.
Big time.
Yeah, so Clinton, that's his high school, moved up to number one in the state of Mississippi.
Awesome. That's awesome. So pressure situation, need to get a stop for the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy Cam White steps up.
It sounds like they have a quarterback that's really good. Cam Akers. Scores a bunch of touchdowns.
No, that's a running back who's Iowa State offer. He's a 5-star running back.
Oh, okay,
He's like the number one running back in the country.
Said he was through a touchdown pass maybe. In the story.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Maybe they put him back there and just said, hey, you're that good. We're just going to snap the ball to you and do it that way. But, yeah, he's –
Or I read the paper – or I read the story wrong. Or
I know the Iowa State staff have been in touch with him trying to get him, you know, but obviously he's – it's going to be a tough one to get because he's 5-star. I mean, everybody in this country is going after Cam Akers.
Yeah, everybody – everything I read about this team was – it was like the team is more than Cam Akers.
Yeah.
And then it's like we look at this and we think about Cam White and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like one of the best recruits Iowa State's ever gotten.
Yep.
He's not even hardly considered when people talk about him on his team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that happens when you have the next Leonard Fournette on your team.
That's true. I'd say maybe the next guy would be Camilo Tongamoya, the JUCO defensive tackle.
Yeah.
5 tackles, 2 tackles for loss and a 50-17 win over Redwoods. So, Merced, 1-0 out there in California.
Very nice. Well, I'll go JUCO. Matt Eaton, which I think a lot of people kind of forget about him. 6'5 kid, 215, but his Pearl River Community College team lost 17-14. They weren't very good last year. I think they won 1 or 2 games last year total, but they brought him in a quarterback, so I think they were hoping they could take the next step. I found 0 stats in the game, though. I've been looking. If anyone out there...
Who'd they play?
They played another Mississippi JUCO team. I couldn't even tell you.
Not Last Chance U team?
No, Last Chance U team, though. Did you know this? They lost their first game, and they lost it because they had to suspend like 30 players from last year's fight.
Really?
Yeah, which I think is bull, personally.
Yeah.
But you already suspended them for the last game. They already missed the playoffs because you suspended them.
It wasn't even their fault they got in the fight. It was a cheap shot, bro.
Potential cheap shot. You know, but you got. I mean, I get that suspension. I don't get doing it a year later, too.
Yeah.
You do one or the other, but yeah. So, I just saw that while I was Googling.
That'll make the second season of the show interesting.
You know that coach can be fuming.
Yeah.
He's been trying to fight everybody.
Definitely.
If anyone hasn't watched Last Chance, it's a must.
When he tries to fight the ref. No, the ref pushes him.
The ref punches him.
Yeah.
Takes a swing. Yeah, I've never seen it like that. And then I loved it. One of the last episodes, too, after they got in that big brawl, he's essentially calling the other coach a you-know-what, and he's like, you know, say, come over here so I can kick your ass. It was absurd. I've never seen anything like it. I've been around sports my entire life. I've never seen two coaches generally hate each other like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anyone hasn't watched it, it's on Netflix. I'd recommend watching it.
So you want to know how, like, inexact some of these stats are? I'm going to preface my next thing with this. In the state of Iowa, man, this thing keeps clicking. I don't know if it's my headphones, but I really hope that it's not as bad on the audio because it kind of hurting my ears. I might go deaf by the end of this thing.
I'll be deaf too.
But in the state of Iowa, we are blessed, Adam Gray, with quick stats. Blessed. It is so easy to find stats for high school sports in the state of Iowa because it is amazing. I'm so glad the High School Athletic Association made that a priority because not many other ones have. and it is infuriating. This is what I wrote down for Richard Bowens III's stats from their last game.
Yep.
Which I think they lost. Handful of tackles, one pass breakup. That's because I watched his film. So I just assumed I watched the highlights that he had from it. He had, five, six tackles.
Was it up on Huddle? Or?
Yeah. Okay. He just had five, six tackles. He had some nice plays where he made some coverage. He had one where he knocked the pass down. That was it. That's all I know about how Richard Bowens played in that game.
But his team lost.
And I think his team lost, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's I noticed when I was looking at stuff. Max, is it Max Preps?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yeah. Show some stats, but not every place has stats on that.
Yeah.
And especially for defensive, they typically don't do defensive stats on there, I don't believe, do they?
No.
I'd never heard of this Quick Stats Iowa until you came in here telling me about it, which was good because I was able to pull up a couple, you know, like Devin Moore's and get the information there. And you're right, it is really easy.
Yeah.
It's a great website.
It's amazing.
It's a great website.
Amazing website, yeah.
So, okay. One of my guys here that I looked at too, Iowa State's tight end commit, Charlie Kohler. He plays for Norman North. They played Norman. I'm guessing this is a big rivalry, Norman North, Norman. They beat him 58-0.
They won?
Yeah, they won.
Wow,
58-0.
Okay.
He had four catches for 44 yards. His team ran for 250. Being a tight end, I'm going to assume that he was the main blocker in all those big runs that they had. Because we look, like I said, this is a hope and positive podcast. So we're going to say Charlie Kohler directly responsible for 294 yards between catching and rushing.
There you go. Karan Hafiz, his team won. They had a bye this last week.
But I thought we were talking about commits. Iowa State commits.
He's still listed. Oh my gosh.
I got you there.
I was really confused. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? No, okay. Yes, he did go on a visit to Minnesota last week.
He's gone on a couple visits since. Just a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
So his team won 35-6 in week one, but I couldn't find any stats for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
but his team won. They had a bye last week, so they're 1-0.
1-0. I'm gonna fly through these offensive linemen here too, just because we don't have stats on offensive linemen. Colin Newell up in Ames. Team's 1-1. Week one they beat Marshalltown pretty bad. I think it was 33-3.
They smacked Marshalltown, and then I think they got smoked by Cedar Falls.
Cedar Falls waxed them 35-7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Kleinow, Iowa City West, always a phenomenal program. They're 2-0. Beat Muscatine last week, and I think they beat Southeast Polk week one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they were a surprise. I think people knew they were going to be good, but I don't think they knew they'd be that good.
Who? Iowa City West?
Yeah.
When are they not ever great?
No, I was listening to High School Insider.
Okay.
On 1460 Cakes, 6-7 on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Leading into Football Friday Night.
That you're on?
That I make an appearance on.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, shameless plug. I was listening to that, and Cody Goodwin and John Naughton seemed surprised by Iowa City West's.
Okay, and the Southeast Polk game or Muscatine?
I think both.
Both. Yeah, the Muscatine game was close, but they got the win. But yeah, I mean, that seems like a program that's always in the dome. Maybe, am I right on that? I
would assume so, but yeah. And they've got good players. I mean, you got Oliver Martin. I know he had a huge game in game one.
Yeah, I looked up the stats. I think he's got about eight catches for 151 yards each game around there, and three touchdowns through two games. So it'll be. I'd really like to know why Iowa State. I wonder if Iowa State reached out to him and he basically said, hey, I'm not interested. If I'm staying in the state, I'm going to Iowa. But because Iowa State has never offered him that we know of.
Yeah.
Here's this kid that's blown up. He's got offered by Oregon, Michigan State. Michigan, I think, has offered him, correct?
Yeah.
It seems interesting to me. But
he came to a camp. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just think.
They just didn't like him as much?
Yeah. I just think he didn't fit what they wanted.
Interesting. Yeah. Another guy, Jeff Nogage. Did I say that right? Nogage?
Yeah.
He's from Johnstown, Monroe, in Ohio. They're 2-0. They actually showed that they played a third game early on. They're way ahead of most other teams as far as how many games they played, but it's not showing a result on Max Preps. But they're 2-0. And then Tyler Jost. They started 1-0, and then they lost a heartbreaker in triple overtime to Batavia. Triple overtime. Oof. Tough loss.
That's where former Iowa State director of scouting, John Kuzieski, Libertyville.
Yeah.
That's where he went to high school.
Really?
That's where my old roommate went to high school.
Is that how he got the Tyler Jost? Is a little inside there?
I think his dad was the coach there for actually a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of in there.
Where'd Kuz end up going to?
Cornell.
Cornell, okay.
He's the running backs coach at Cornell now.
Very nice. Good for him.
Ray Lima, defensive tackle from El Camino College, did not play this weekend. I didn't write down whether his team won or not, but he sprained his knee. He didn't play.
No,
there's no other note about it. It just said defensive tackle Ray Lima didn't play due to a sprained knee.
Okay. Hopefully just a minor injury and he can be back on the field here shortly.
Mm-hmm. Orion Vance, Cedar Rapids, Washington, there 2-0. Got wins over Prairie and Kennedy.
Okay.
Kennedy is definitely a big win.
Yeah.
I think they were the state runner-up last year. He has 13 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks through the first 2 games.
Nice. You know me, I'm high on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he looks the part, especially, and I hate to do this, but you watch that UNI game, we need a major, 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 major upgrade in linebacker play.
Mm-hmm. Speed.
Speed. Speed was a big issue. And I know Bailey's fast, and Bailey's going to make a lot of teams look slow. But he, you know, even fast defenses, if a quarterback gets around him, you at least make him go outside a little bit more and slow it down to where the safeties and the cornerbacks can come up. He was so much faster than our linebackers. He was able to get 10 yards, where I think a good linebacker core with a little bit more speed, a lot of those runs could have been 2 or 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need an upgrade in linebacker play, and I think Orion Vance, I think he's got a chance to come in and play early for Iowa State.
His team plays against Waterloo West in the last game of the season, so I think I might go to that one.
Okay.
That'd be Devin Moore against Orion Vance.
But
the only problem is that Ames High plays Dowling that night. So it's like, do I want to go watch Jake Hummel, and I'll probably work that game, or do I want to go to Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Washington?
Does Campbell call up Orion Vance before and be like, dude,
don't hit him?
No big hits. No big hits, all right? You can demolish a wide receiver over the middle. You could take out a running back if you want, but you got a chance to light up Devin. I mean, just kind of give him like a little bear hug and just hold on to him. And just do that and just wait for the whistle to blow. But you do not rip. Don't give him a big shot.
I don't think he's going to say that.
You don't think so?
No, Coach Campbell seems like the kind of guy that it's like, if you get a chance to pop him, then go pop him.
Just stay away from the knees and the head.
Yeah.
Right in the chest would be good, please.
Speaking of Jake Hummel, Dowling's 2-0,
shocker,
of course.
Shocker.
He's the team's second leading tackler, 12 and a half tackles, 1 tackle for loss. They've got a big one coming up on Friday. The Valley Tigers.
That will be a great game. So 3-time straight state champion Dowling against Valley. And Valley's quarterback is going to Michigan State, right? Rocky Lombardi?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Who's favored?
I mean, probably Dowling, since they're the 3-time defending champions.
You got a line on that game,
but,
Jared?
Speaking of that, though, Valley did. They, like, smacked Bettendorf in week one. So I think they beat Waukee pretty good last week, too.
And Bettendorf is traditionally always
very good.
Very, very good. Put me down for Valley. I think Valley gets him.
I think – did Valley maybe win last year? And then I think Dowling won in the playoffs. And then they went and won the championship.
Okay.
I think that's right, but I don't know that for sure.
One of these last couple of years, I think that did take place where Valley won and Dowling got him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think – I don't know. Dowling's run's got to end at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
they still have 3 Division I recruits on that team, Jake Hummel. The defensive end, Wagner, who Iowa State likes.
Yeah, then there's the offensive lineman.
So there's no question they got
his name
elite talent for a high school team.
I've got it here. Zach Ross.
Zach Ross.
The offensive lineman, yeah. Okay, so then Devin Lamp. His team's 1-1, Cedar Hill. They're 1 loss to Bishop Gorman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about
also, like, known as like the football factory, one of the football factories.
What was the score on that one? Were they close? Were they competitive?
No. It was like 40-17 or something like that.
Okay.
It wasn't close.
Has he recorded a sack yet?
No. 6 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 quarterback hurry.
3 tackles for loss, so he's making plays in the backfield.
Uh-huh.
That's good to see.
But like, and then they destroyed who the second team they played was. Somebody from Texas. It wasn't Bishop Gorman in game 2.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really going to be interested to watch him
mm-hmm.
develop this year because I've been very vocal as far as when we recruited him, and it'll be interesting to see if Iowa State has to hold off other schools recruiting him if he has a really big senior season, which I hope he does.
Octavius Morgan, defensive back from Butler County Community College, had 6 tackles and a pass breakup in their first game.
Okay.
I didn't write down if they won, but I think they did.
That's always a good program.
Yeah.
So,
and then Angel Dominguez didn't play.
He's out for the year.
But he's out for the year.
Correct.
We noted that before.
Now, my question, I guess, to you is this. We watched the UNI game. Clearly did not go how either of us were wanting to, or obviously the coaching staff, after watching that, do you think there's a certain position that Iowa State needs to go after and recruit even more? Or does it change anything? You know, do you think the staff looks at it too and says, well, we need to really go after a certain guy here? Because there's one that comes to my mind right away.
Junior college offensive lineman.
Hayes. Or what's his name? DeMarcus.
Wasn't it DeMarcus Hayes?
DeMarcus Hayes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I watched that, and you and I know you got Campos coming back, and Flipper will be back another year. But a big – not only from just a depth standpoint,
mm-hmm.
but I think a guy, a good juco guy like him that's rated high, can come out and beat a Filbert. He can beat a Filbert even if he's a senior, or he could even potentially – you don't know how Campos is going to come back, could potentially beat him as well. But I think you got to go get a juco guy. Have to. And I think you need to go get a juco linebacker.
I think if you can get one that's going to be an upgrade as an athlete, like purely just as a stud, like run to the football type guy.
Yeah.
Would be prime.
You have to, yeah. And, you know, I say this, I killed the linebacker core because I thought they looked slow at times. But really, overall, the Iowa State defense played well.
Mm-hmm.
The offense put them in terrible spots the whole game, you know, between the landing fumble and the coach timeout and, you know, all the other turnovers. I think the defense really only gave up 6 points where they gave up a long drive. Does that sound right? Six to 26. I mean, otherwise, the offense put them in bad spots. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little too hard on them, but I thought the linebacking play was really slow.
Yeah, I would agree. It didn't help once Willie Harvey got hurt, though.
Willie didn't do a whole lot to impress me early on, though.
No. But he did more. He was better, in my mind, it seemed like he was better at running with Bailey.
No,
in those situations, like
clearly.
Keeping him from being able to get upfield.
Faster
you know?
Than like Kane Seeler, Ryan Mills. Absolutely. There's no question.
Like and Willie Harvey versus Aaron Bailey in space some of those times was a battle that Iowa State could win. But a lot of those times that when it was Kane Seeley versus Aaron Bailey in space, Iowa State wasn't going to win that battle.
No. Or when McMillan was in there at times too. And a lot of it, you know, I'm ripping on the linebackers. We talked about this with Jeff Woody on CFTV Live too. Another shameless plug for one of our podcasts. He talked about the defensive ends getting a little too far upfield,
mm-hmm.
the defensive line not holding their pocket, and basically giving these running lanes for Bailey. And Bailey's not going to be the only running quarterback Iowa State's going to see this year. Even C.J. Beathard killed Iowa State at times last year running the ball. So Iowa State's definitely going to have to do a better job of, you want to put pressure on the quarterback, you want to make him sweat a little bit, but how do you do that without completely breaking down the pocket? Because I would venture to say, 8 out of the 12 teams Iowa State plays is going to have a quarterback that can beat you with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think they'll figure that out. I think they will, but it was really difficult to watch.
All right, you good?
No, I'm not good. What do you think for the game? You got a prediction?
Yeah, I think Iowa's going to win by two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns, which is right about where I think the line is. I think mm-hmm. it's 15 or something last time I saw. Last week I predicted 27-17 Iowa State. Obviously, I was wrong on that. I think I'll just flip it. I think Iowa wins 27-17. And I think Iowa State's defense can do a nice job as long as they continue to play physical. I think it's a better game for Kane Seeley than mm-hmm. than the other one. I don't know with this offense. I still have yet to see in a long time an Iowa State offense that can consistently do what they need to do to score. They show flashes where they're really good, really, really good. But all it is flashes. And in the Big 12 – and at this level, you need to be really consistent in doing it. And hopefully the coaching staff can iron out some things and do that.
I want to see a lineup where Regan Northrup and Willie Harvey are on the field together.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good.
I want to see a little bit more Montgomery on offense out of the backfield. I thought he was fantastic. That one play was 3rd and 15. It was a long one.
Uh-huh.
They threw the little out pass to him, and he made the first guy miss and almost got the – that was – whew. That was impressive.
Yeah.
I think you got to find a way to get him the ball. And I
think they need to figure out a way to get the ball to Kenne too.
All those guys.
Dude, when he sees a hole on that kickoff, he's gone. Like, quick. He hits that baby fast.
He almost had one and got hit from the side.
Yeah.
Trevor,
like, he was like one block away on one of those from being gone.
He got a hit on the side. And if that guy was just – a quarter of a second not there, he was gone. There was no one else there. He was gone. Trevor Ryan, the very first series for Iowa State, looked like he was going to go 80 yards on that screen pass, and he got just tripped up. Iowa State had a couple opportunities really big plays. A couple.
It was kind of odd to me that how much emphasis they put on that screen pass, like on the first two drives, and then they didn't do it anymore.
No, they did. I thought they did it a couple times lately, but they weren't having any success, it seemed like.
Because they had success with it early.
They did.
You and I must have adjusted to how they were defending it.
They did. And you know, it's funny. I heard a lot of people start complaining that, man, all they were doing was throwing deep. For years, me especially, Iowa State never throws the ball deep. Sam's afraid to take shots.
Yeah.
I loved Iowa State threw it vertical, especially against the undermanned U and I team. Lanning's just got to throw a couple of them a little bit better, got to make some plays. And you just can't put yourself in first and 20. Because then you see what Baylor did for years, right? It was either verticals mm-hmm. or they were doing to have that power running game, and it just kind of kept the safeties back a little. I mean, you played with teams a little bit doing that way.
I play the same way. There's only two plays I need to know. Four verticals and the inside zone. Yeah, that's it. Four verticals in the inside zone.
Yeah, you're the guy that thinks everything should work because of how it works in Madden, right?
Okay, Jevin.
No, it was funny though. I talked about this in the fallcast, but one of my predictions on the season was that I was going to get like 50 text messages from Charter when things were going bad.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is he thinks we need to throw the ball 90% of the time. 90%. And I'm like, this is a Madden. You can't just go five wide. We go five wide.
Who do you think we have at quarterback? Graham Harrell?
No, but I mean, I do get it. Like we talked about last week too. You don't have to go into a game plan saying, hey, we got to run the football.
Yeah.
It's whatever you think you're going to be successful in. And to a certain extent, I think Iowa State coaching staff did that last week, right? Mm-hmm. They threw the ball a lot. I mean, they threw it deep too. And why? Because they looked at UNI and they said, this front seven for UNI is pretty solid. They got a lot of returning guys. They're pretty good up here. They're stout. Our offensive line's not doing a good job run blocking. We're going to try to beat them vertical. I didn't mind the game plan. Unfortunately, the execution just sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. Penalties. You name it, and it was just kind of a snowball effect from there. But I'm really excited to see how this week goes, and I think Campbell's team, I think they'll rebound and play well, and I'm just hopeful that the fans do not jump off the bandwagon from all the positive momentum that's been done. Because people are – the momentum he had in the offseason, a majority of it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what you say, it's
gone.
Well,
it's like he built up a lot of goodwill.
Yep.
And I think that we kind of – like, it seemed like something really disastrous would have to happen for anybody to, like, turn on him.
Yeah.
But something happened. And people turned on him quick.
Yeah,
you know?
No. And it was one of those things. It's not that they lost you and I, too. It's that they lost because they made a ton of mistakes.
Yeah. I think the thing that frustrates people is that this looks like the same shit we've been dealing with for however long.
Same, yeah.
You know?
Iowa State is inventing ways to lose. UNI is a team that knows how to win. Iowa State is a team that knows how to lose.
I was thinking,
it's as simple as that, really.
Last night, I was thinking, I'm not going to believe this team's going to win until they're in the victory formation and they're going to win. Like, it's over.
And even then, I'm still praying, don't fumble the snap. I mean, that's just how as Iowa State fans, that's how we've been accustomed to being. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I remember back when Iowa State with Steel Jans, they beat UNI 20-19, right?
I thought it was going to be 20-19. I was thinking about that.
I was thinking it too. That team I don't think they deserved to win that game. I thought UNI physically just beat the hell out of them. A couple years back when UNI beat us too, Iowa State just was terrible. I thought this was a game, not that UNI didn't deserve to win or anything like that, but I thought it was more attributed to Iowa State playing just too many mistakes, too many dumb. I mean, a fumble off the quarterback's hands that goes to the other team on a shotgun. Mm-hmm. That, you just can't do that shit. You just can't.
We should drop two cuss words in about a minute.
F it. I mean, you just I don't know. They'll play better. They'll do better, and hopefully, we don't have to see what we've seen the last 3 years. Because that game, literally, there was nothing different about that game than what we've seen the last 3 years.
Yep.
Nothing.
All right. Now that we talked for 10 more minutes.
All right. Yeah. We'll see you Thursday for the radio show.
Yep. What are we going to do for that?
I think I might be filling in for C-Dub.
Oh, gosh. No.
Yep. Yep. You might be stuck with me twice. We might call out to C-Dub, because he's at RVTV.
Yeah. I'm going down to Sheridan tomorrow.
You going
to
go down there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's today, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we'll see you Thursday. We'll have a little pizza there at Benchwarmers. Mm-hmm. Maybe it used to be called the Paul Rhodes Pizza. I don't know what they've changed it to. I don't think it's the Paul Rhodes Pizza anymore.
It's not?
No, I think it's – well, why would you call it the Paul Rhodes Pizza anymore?
We talked about the Paul Rhodes Pizza on the show last week.
I should,
you know you're going to have to come ready for this for Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale, right?
Yeah, I listened, and I'm not afraid of Bloom at all on this. In fact, I see myself mopping him up.
It's I'm easily swayed by alcoholic beverages and and other free gifts.
Other free gifts.
Okay. The judges are easily swayed.
You'll get nothing from me and like it, and I'll still get the victory just because my answers will be superior. But
now that you said that, you're not. Now
it's over.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again to our sponsors, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. Give them a call, 515-330-1299, or just, you know, stop on by, 4800 Mill Civic Parkway, Suite 107 in West Des Moines. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Adam Gray. Have a good week, everybody.